Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the Truth Is Out There, Voice of the People radio show on the Truth Is Out There, Voice of the People media network. And right now we got a very big guest that's on this coming on the show. I want to introduce him in a second. Let me introduce our co-host, Scarlett. Scarlett, how you doing, Scarlett?
I am great. Great day. Busy day.
Yeah, it was a crazy day. This. And we got
how
a very good guest. I'm doing great. Right now, anxious. I'm very anxious to get this guest on. This gentleman here, he's running for Senate in Nevada. His tagline is Faith, Family, and Country. This guy here was the city council. He was a lieutenant colonel. He had four tours in Afghanistan, Special Forces, Green Beret. And West Point graduate. Let me introduce you to Bill Conrad. He is running for Senate in the state of Nevada. Welcome aboard, Mr. Conrad.
Well, thank you, Joe and Scarlett. It's a privilege to be on your show. I appreciate it very much.
Well, let me ask you, first of all, how did you come with Faith, Family, and Country? That's your belief, that's your heart?
You know, that's always been with me. I was probably raised that way, that your family, my grandparents were incredible, and my dad and uncle were just amazing, and it was a small-knit family from my dad's side, and we grew up all close together. Then my mom has a huge family. She comes from the ag side, and I had 12 great uncles and aunts, so 11 actually, one died as a child, but it was a very strong family bond and the importance of family and working. So that's how I grew up. And my parents were in the Greatest Generation. Half of them, a lot of my family served in the military. My kids are all in the military. In fact, I'm very proud of them. And that's one of the reasons I'm not running, because I'm so concerned about the future.
And that's a very big thing. And can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself? I gave a little overview, but can you get into more detail so they know the type of person you are?
Well, that's an interesting question. Well, I've had a heck of a career. Right out of high school, I was going to go enlist in the Marine Corps, and it's a long story short. My dad was an NCO. My mom said, well, why don't you apply to become an officer? And I just wanted to be a door gunner in the Marine Corps, but I applied to the Naval Academy growing up outside of close to Camp Pendleton. And it was very competitive to get there, but I had this letter in the mail that said, you've been nominated for the United States Military Academy. So I called my blue and gold officer, and I said, does this mean I can go to any of the academies? He said, no, that's West Point. So I ended up going, actually getting my nomination and appointment to West Point. And since I wanted to be a Marine, of course, I wanted to track a tough way. So I went infantry, ranger, and then as a first lieutenant, almost a captain, I applied and was accepted into Special Forces School and became a Green Beret. I served it for 9 years, and then I got out and wanted to start and get with my family business. I'm the youngest at my design-build construction company. So I worked with my family, stayed in the Guard and Reserve. The war broke out, and I was recalled. Recalled several times, and I said, well, why don't I just go back in and finish up? And I really felt like that was the right place to be, back in the military. I did serve four tours in Afghanistan. They were long, tough tours, actually five major assignments. Probably one of my most rewarding assignments, I was human terrain team leader later on, civil affairs officer, and I was the group I'm a Green Beret, so I was the 7th Special Forces in one of my tours, group engineer. So I got to see the whole city. I saw a lot of things. I was there when Bergdahl went AWOL. Knew for the first time in my life that the President of the United States was lying to the public, absolutely. And later I was at a real high-level headquarters in Kaya, Kabul International Airport, at the Joint Staff Headquarters, when Benghazi broke out. So I saw a lot of the inside of Benghazi, what was going on that night. And again, I knew the president and the secretary of state were lying to the American public. And that brings us to today. The Democrats' leadership at the highest levels are all lying. They're using the deep state, and we're losing our country. And it's going to take a special warrior to win it back. It's going to take tough candidates. Now, Trump is a candidate, is a warrior. It's going to take really tough people, but there's a lot of good warriors out there who can fight it. So I hope to join that crowd. I don't hope. I need to join that crowd so I can help win this war without fighting.
Okay.
Because we've got to take back the country.
Yeah. One thing I got to say.
Go ahead.
Bill, never say hope. I will join that crowd. Because I used to run a campaign for a general, I always say, don't say hope. I will. Yeah, because it's going on different things. But if you're determined and you focus and you go straight in, you could win everything. You never say hope. You always say, I will.
Oh, I agree. I agree. You always say you go out to win. You've got to win.
Right.
You got to fight like you're behind. And you know
right.
how tough any campaign is, especially at the at that level, at the Senate. But
who
we do have
looking?
A very corrupt group of Democrats right now.
In
Nevada,
question.
We have go ahead.
Who are you looking to unseat?
Well, in Nevada, we've got two senators. And it's interesting. I'll tell you a story behind it. One of the senators, Rosen, is coming up for election in 2 years. She lost. She actually barely beat out a senator, a Republican senator. And it was a fluke because this Republican senator had come out quasi against Trump. So people just didn't come out and vote. We've had a problem with Republicans. So it's a tough – it's an election coming up. It's a winnable election. And it is just incredible, that Nevada is not like all Republican to me. But it's because our Republicans haven't come out and run. So it's I mean, it's an interesting state. Now, I originally grew up in California, and when I retired from the military about 12 years ago, I came here to raise my kids. And so I never had intentions of going back into politics. Before the war, I was a city council and vice mayor of a city of 320,000. And my plan was to help people get elected. So I've been trying to go out there helping a lot of folks get elected, some to the higher office. But it's been difficult, I think, finding the right candidates in my book. They've been missing something. Most of them don't have the experience. They have a tendency to spend too much money in their campaign early and not raise enough money. As you know, it's really critical. And Jackie Rosen has, I think, $5 to $7 million right now. She's a Democrat senator coming up for election. Cortez Masto just beat somebody called candidate Laxalt, who's a very good candidate. But the
I think they stole that election.
Well, here's what they did: they went to all mail ballots. I've got experience with all mail ballots. I was a city council and vice mayor. When I ran for Congress, they had changed in California at the time, this is before the war, to some precincts where they're all mail. They are called permanent absentee at the time. One of them I didn't get one vote out of. Now, that seems impossible, and 100% voted. So that was my first experience with all mail ballots as running for office. I had won the primary and lost the general election. So there is no doubt that when you have an all-mail-in ballot, there's a lot of fraud. And the Democrats would glean it. But the worst thing is we told Republicans not to vote until Election Day. And Election Day, the weather was terrible in Nevada. And I know of several people who said they voted, but their vote didn't get recorded. So we've got to change our ways. We've got to go out and glean the votes and get them in the mail early. That does some good things, though, for the candidates. If you can get that piece of mail in early, and we know that vote has been received at the recorder's office, and we don't have to send any more chase mail after it, so it saves money for us. So we're changing our approach here in Nevada. We're really trying to focus at going out and doing like the Democrats and getting the ballots in the mail. Yeah, it's legal here, believe it or not. You can set up places to drop your ballots in that gun store. You can go door to door and pull them. It's actually legal in this state. What's illegal, though, is to fill out the ballot for somebody. So what you can do is give them a slate and say, here's what we recommend. Go ahead and fill it out, and I'll come and make sure your ballot gets in the mail. Or, you know, a lot of people, we had 140,000 Republicans not vote in the last election. Laxalt lost Senate by 8,000 votes. So it's tough. No, it's a tough state.
You gotta get out to vote early. That's a big thing. It was kind of crazy this morning today. I was kind of working with the RNC this morning for about a good part of the day, and one of the things we were talking to people is that don't wait till the last second. Oh, God, do it now. We cannot play catch-up all the time. So that's how the Democrats destroy us, because we always play catch-up. You play their own game, because they start running the next election the day after the old election. So they never stop. And that's what we have to do to get the vote out and do it that way. And it works out. But we need good leadership on top, and that's something that needs to change.
You need a strong ground game. This way you have a team that can go out and knock on doors and give out literature and put out signs and whatever other paraphernalia you have.
And pick up the ballots.
Walk around and talk to the general public. And shake hands and tell them your positions.
Yeah, and pick up the ballot.
Make it personal and one-on-one. And you have
I agree. That's all politics is personal. Tip O'Neill.
Right.
It is.
That's it, Tip O'Neill. Yeah. Let me ask you a few questions here. Let's start with as a senator, what is your position on when you become the senator, when you become the next senator of Nevada, what is your position on what's going on, say, the border right now? Because Nevada is a border state, really.
with water. Well, water should be a free commodity. It should be market based to get things. We always start with a free market system when all possible, but that also requires some public works and right of way and easements to get water through. We still waste a lot of water here. We're on the east side of the Sierras. In the northern Nevada, we're actually in really good shape. We have a lot of water just slightly north to us. It's the Lassen Basin area. There's a lot of water under the ground. We have the Truckee River. We have a lot of reservoirs in the Sierras. So northern Nevada, we're actually in pretty good shape. Now, Las Vegas, with 2.1 million people, is different. They're actually putting a moratorium on any more growth because of the water issues. So that's something that has to be looked at and developed. Of course, we want to figure out how to produce more water, desalinization. In San Diego is an approach they're looking at right now. That means they can redirect some of the Colorado River into Nevada. Now, when they made Hoover Dam and they divvied up the water that comes out of the Colorado Basin, Nevada got very little water because it was a very small state at the time with a very small population. California and actually Colorado gets most of the water out of the Colorado Basin, followed by California and then Arizona. Then Nevada gets a very small percentage. The way that Nevada could change that is if the Southern California, specifically San Diego, did not use so much of that Colorado water basin, they could divert and keep more of it in Nevada. So that's one thing they're looking at right now. That's a major project that can be done, and the technology in desalinization is improving dramatically. But it takes energy to create, to desalinate the water. And natural gas is one of the elements. So you have to start by opening up the gateways for energy in the United States, making us self-dependent and driving down the cost of fuel.
So will you support Drill Baby Drill?
Oh, absolutely. Especially natural gas. Natural gas is really good, and we have lots of it between Pennsylvania, they have back east too, but we have a lot of it coming out of Wyoming and in Nevada. Unfortunately, when it comes to gasoline, we have to get most of our gas from California and have the same standards as California, which costs us a small fortune for gas here. I think it's about $4.40 to $4.60 a gallon right now for regular. So we need to bring that back.
We're $3.33.
That's in Florida, right? That's in Florida.
Correct.
Yeah. You're less restricted, less taxes. When Trump was down in Texas, I was talking to somebody from Texas today. I forgot, was it Colleen? And they said when Trump was here, it was $1.62 down in Texas in one town. Apparently in Texas, each jurisdiction has different taxes. So it really varied a lot. It's between $1.62 and $2.10 during Trump's time because he made us energy independent. The second thing, too, and I'm really strong in the military and defending our country, what Biden did by taking the reserves down to where it is today put us in peril. We need to get those reserves right back up. So he emptied, right before the election, he emptied most of our reserves, like 70%, I think. And that's not good, because we need that to fight a war. Things go to a heck in a handbag.
What do you think Biden...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Drain the reserves. Okay, and now he's hustling for the outside. And OPEC's cutting back on drilling, and so the price will go up.
Yeah, it will go up. I mean, it's inevitable it will go up. But you know what's happening right now? Because of the Fed's restriction on money, and I'm seeing this right now. It's happening right as we speak. I just bought my tickets for my daughter. She's doing her summer training. She's in West Point. She's a senior now in West Point, my youngest daughter. I just bought her tickets to fly from Fort Bragg, which is now Fort Liberty, to back to Reno, and then from Reno back to West Point for her finishing her summer training. And those tickets, I've been tracking those because I track them on Google Flights. Those have gone down by 30%, and they continue to go down. People have backed off on travel. I think people are running out of money. Yeah. Now, they've been traveling hard.
They're running out of money.
Up now, but I think people are getting in debt and running out of money. So
they
it's
going
to be a strange year. Yeah, it's going to be a strange year.
Yeah, I know. I want to talk. Go back to Fort Liberty, which Fort Bragg. I think this is ridiculous. They're just woke again, changing the names because and trying to change history, and you can't. Fort Bragg was named after a Confederate, but that's why they changed it to Fort Liberty instead. But it's ridiculous. If you keep forgetting your history, you got to do the repeat anyway.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
General Bragg. I think Bragg was a West Pointer, too.
Yeah.
I said it was named after West Pointer. You could say it was named after West Pointer.
Mm-hmm.
He's class
a lot of
West Pointer.
Yeah, a lot of Confederate generals, officers that came out of West Point. Bobby Lee.
Yes, they all knew each other. Absolutely.
Yeah,
Jefferson, Lee. In fact, when I was at West Point, I used to sit between Grant and Lee in the library, these huge pictures of Grant and Lee looking at each other. And you could just feel the power of those leaders. And they both had their different techniques in leadership, but they're both strong leaders. I used to sit between them. They have taken the lead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to say
they've
taken
all the barracks. They've taken everything from Lee at West Point. Yeah.
Okay. Now, Nevada also has illegal immigration problems in there. How being a senator, how would you stop that? Would you go for closing the borders or bills continue with the wall or eliminate catch and release and all that type of policies? How would you go as a senator?
Oh, I got to say something to you. Any Republican knows that it's nuts right now and what's going on the border. I believe 5 to 6 million people have come across the border illegally since Biden has taken office in 2 years. This is nuts. It's insane. I mean, Nevada only has 3 million people. So you've got to – the president of the United States has got to start with the president. He's got to enforce the border. But if he doesn't enforce the border, you have fiscal issues you can deal with as a senator. The governor of the state can do things. It's really an executive thing, but we've got to shut the border. As a senator, all you could do is really bring attention to the citizens in your state of what is happening and then help other Republicans get elected to statewide offices in the state so we can have a more conservative approach and actually do things that will discourage illegal immigration into the state. For one, make sure that no jurisdictions have, asylum. Asylum kills you. It's like a magnet. So you can't allow your jurisdictions to have asylum. And if your city, it starts at the city and the county. And if your city and county vote in asylum, you need to make sure you get rid of the city council members and mayor. So a politician being a senator statewide can have some influence and help get rid of the bad politicians in the state. I think that's where you start. I mean, the president's got to block up the border. He's got to stop the gate. Trump was doing a great job, doing better than anybody at plugging up that border. He did a great job. And the first thing Biden did, of course, is stop building the fence and then opened up the gateways. I mean, the Democrats are nuts. But, we have another problem. I lived in a ag community when I was young. For a while, when I got out of the military, I was in an ag community actually building a design-build construction. And it amazed me. There were Republicans, of course, who were farmers who wanted the cheap labor. And so they really turned their back when it came to illegal immigration. But what you could do is something that we did years ago called the Visario program. It gave green cards to people from Mexico to come up if they wanted to work, but then they had to return. And it was on a limited visa. Something like that could be returned. It's much better than illegals in bringing up, families in the United States. And there's nothing good about this border situation, as you know. There's nothing good at all. Terrorists are getting through too. That's another big problem. There's a bigger problem actually, the labor coming through.
Yeah, I would tell you something. I want to tell you something. What you fought tours in Afghanistan, some of the people that you've that you know this terrorist or can't be terrorist. Actually, they caught at the border in the last few weeks. So you might, for people you fought against, you might be recognizing them at the border. It's crazy.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, what I do is secure the border by finish up with what Trump started with the French and get eliminate cash release and catch and release, eliminate that. I would ICE do their job. I would let the border patrols do their job. I would do what both Abbott and DeSantis did, get the National Guard involved, and I would deport them as fast as you can if they come in, and if they're back again, put them in the prison cell. Scarlett said build an Ellis Island type of thing somewhere in the Rio Grande and let them go through the same way as they did back in the day in Ellis Island and in New York Harbor. For those people escaping, like Nazi Germany and stuff like that. So this way you can prevent them.
Two things here. In 2004, I worked for the Defense Threat, as a lieutenant colonel, I worked for the Defense Threat Reduction Agency back here in the United States. I studied threat reductions. I knew of how people got into the country illegally and how the cells and bad people got in here to kill us. And they want to kill us. And I know for a fact right now, deriving from the situation back then, that we have a lot of bad people coming across. And there's a lot of sleeper cells out there now, probably more than when I was in 2004, because we knew where the sleeper cells were. And they were under surveillance and watching them. So that's what I did. I worked defense threat reduction. I learned a lot from that. But that is the scariest thing out there. But secondly, I want to tell you about when I was in Afghanistan, two of my assignments, I was an S-9 civil affairs officer for two combat brigades on the Pakistan-Afghan border, two different tours. And one of my jobs was refugee control. And I know the laws of being a refugee. The whole law behind being a refugee is you have to go to the country of first asylum. So anybody other than maybe Mexicans who come in through Mexico are violating that law. The other thing, too, is like we did in Pakistan or Afghanistan, you can set up safe camps on the other side of the border like we did in Pakistan for the refugees or in Afghanistan. But there were safe zones for the refugees of the war. And they're basically tent villages in some aspects. We were building actually clay and roads and laying them out. But we had villages of up to 50,000 people in a camp. So that would be like stay in Mexico, help them build a camp down there, and that's where the refugees should be. If they come in from the lower part of Mexico through the southern Central American countries, they need to stay in the first country of refuge. And Biden's not, that's a no-brainer. You turn around people right away because a lot of these people aren't from Mexico. And in Mexico, the government is considered to have safe, take care of their own people. They, even though they have the narco terrorists, they're considered a safe haven country. There's no reason for anybody to come across the border, bottom line.
Yeah, that's true. I think Trump had a policy to stay at, they call it stay in Mexico, but there was a stay in the country. Yeah. And that was one of the things, it worked out fine.
National law, but that's international law, by the way. You say in the first company of refuge. And the country doesn't have to let you go all through the country. They can put you in a refugee camp. You're not a citizen. Especially as illegal.
So that's a big thing there. The other big thing is drugs, addiction. It's a big thing with, I know in California, you came from a very big thing. Nevada, I have fentanyl and other drugs, it's really bad. And there are many ways, I'm sure you could, as a senator, get some kind of law passed that would work with the House to try and get rid of the fentanyl and the other drugs that's coming into this country, the drug dealers, and all those people.
Yeah, we already have strong laws against fentanyl. The problem is that prosecutors aren't prosecuting, even in cities. Look at San Francisco, New York, these places. Mm-hmm. They've gone nuts. But that's the stopping side. It's coming in through Mexico, which, of course, they're getting their fentanyl basically from the raw material from China. So we're being, you know, being attacked by China, basically. There's a name for that. It's bad.
Well, invasion.
Yeah,
well, China has used many avenues to basically invade this country. And it's not just that balloon, but the other things they did, the cyber attacks, the fentanyl, all kinds of Chinese nationals coming in through the open border. There's a lot of things coming in, buying land in this country to set up bases. The CCP, Chinese Communist Party, the police, so to speak, they actually had some in New York. They arrested a couple, which actually is tied to the Democratic Party. They went to two people that they arrested in New York. That was CCP. That was the Chinese Communist Police in New York. Actually, was at a fundraiser for Schumer, and they were dancing and stuff like that. So there is a hand-to-hand tie to the Democrats and China and the Communist Chinese and the invasion. They're all in on it, and I'm not even talking about Biden's 5 million plus. So
do you think of Biden? What do you think of this president?
I think he's the one. I think he's the most corrupt president this country's ever seen. I think he is. This goes back to before he was a senator. He's a liar. He's a plagiarist, and he is. And he's a pedophile because he took showers with his daughter. He's Scarlett calls him snipping because he sniffed people's girls' hairs and stuff. So she calls him snipping kid. You heard the podcast, so you know that there's a lot of evidence out there, and now you got the House opening up and the Senate opening it up, and there's things coming down. It's a big day tomorrow for a couple of them.
Yeah, normally I catch the news before I go on and try to see what's getting caught up. I've been so busy. In fact, I'm supposed to go to a 5:30 meeting that I'll catch late. I'll be late too. It goes until about 8, so, or 7:30. No, maybe not that late.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got double booked, but I'm happy to be on your show right now. But
okay.
Yeah, that's Biden is a mess. You know what? What concerns me, and I remember this when Clinton was president. I was in the military. I remember because I pick up stuff. When I was a young officer, I was assigned to the DEA in the Bahamas for some missions, some operations, and I remember at the time Clinton, I picked this up, and we had other agency people around. But I remember at the time there was a discussion about how Clinton had got a bunch of FBI records on individuals in politics, and he kept them. And I picked it up in my mind, but normally everyone talks about it. That's when it started. I believe Clinton, and especially his wife, were absolutely corrupt. I knew that when she had classified on her server that she would go to jail, but I didn't know that Comey would just not prosecute or do anything, that the deep state and the FBI was protecting them, which they are.
Yep, they still are.
You can see that today. It's terrible what's going on today. The FBI is so corrupt. I would ask you, what do you do when you have a corrupt FBI in the United States? What do you do with it in your center?
You're going to have to get to the lower echelon and let them start doing what they're supposed to do and arrest the top echelon. And I think that's what's starting to happen with people, whistleblowers coming in. There are some moves on. Head of the FBI is supposed to be, if he doesn't do something by tomorrow morning, he will be arrested tomorrow.
I don't know if they'll arrest him or not, because I think he has. Who would arrest him?
He will be arrested tomorrow. Oh. They have the lower echelon of the FBI already told Ray they're not going to listen to him anymore. And a lot of people started to turn in and started to do this thing. And same thing with a bunch of other places and other things. It's starting to bring, the wall is starting to break down in some way. And partly because elections do have consequences, and we did take the House, and now they're doing some of the work they should be doing. And things are coming out. And we I posted on social media the warrant today that Marjorie Taylor Greene posted. And stuff of that. There is stuff coming down tomorrow. And if Ray doesn't turn over the 1023 completely, he will be arrested by his underlings. And he was told that.
That's the first
you know
I've heard
of that.
I mean,
on
I
that
hope
is,
it does happen.
When I see it, I will believe it. Because otherwise, we don't have the military. Because you have Milli Vanilli running it. And
he's done. He's assigned officially today. He was finished.
And Biden is just the title. It was never about being president. It was about having the title and living the life of Riley and doing
and
his
making millions. Yeah,
right.
And making millions.
Obama's running this country with his transgender wife husband.
And the Clintons. You're right
about
the Clintons.
You know, you got Leon Panetta, you got Clapper and Brennan and Rice and they're still hands on and they're still corrupt. And it's circling the wagons.
Yeah.
So you're right. Who will arrest them? That's a good question.
We will tell this morning and this afternoon through various sources that the underlings are gonna be taking into custody.
Bottom line,
the Supreme
Court don't do their job. Supreme Court are a bunch of wimp ass.
They are.
Okay?
Okay.
Because Trump is the rightful president.
Yeah.
I think this is an extremely important issue. We could not have a corrupt FBI. And that's what we have right now.
It's not just the FBI, it's the CIA, it's Homeland Security.
It's a complete
Justice Department.
Right. Look who's the head of the Justice Department, Garland, and he's corrupt.
Right.
Because don't forget his son is corrupt, and he's covering up for him.
So,
and Mitch McConnell is corrupt. The Democrats. We have two sides that are corrupt. Okay, and they show themselves.
So for the listener out there, go to conradteam.com. It's conradteam.com.
Yeah,
and look at my website. First thing I said is clean house in D.C. when elected to the U.S. Senate to represent Nevada. My first vote will be for conservative leadership, and that's not McConnell, of course. I will do everything in my power to elect conservative leaders who will fight for liberty and freedom. For too long, an elite and far capital has controlled us through censorship, mandates, orders, administrative directives. It's time to stop this, and McConnell allowed all of that. I'm not a McConnell fan, nor I'll pledge right now not to vote for him for leadership if he's still around.
Do you believe in term limits?
Well, I've got a mixed feeling on that. First of all, the most I'm going to do is two terms. It's 12 years. I like Washington. They should not have perpetual candidates. But what's worse than candidates is the deep state and people like Fauci, who was around forever making a lot of money and had so much control. So I think we also, it takes a constitutional convention or a change in the Constitution to put term limits in effect. That's already been challenged in California because they tried to put term limits on Congress and Senate in California.
I wonder why.
I would support a constitutional amendment to do that, absolutely. But that's about the only thing you can do. But in the meantime, we could do something to limit how long, maybe 8 years. So in the federal service, you go from GS to GM, general management, that no one should be in that GM position more than 8 years. And that would have eliminated Fauci and his problems and his control because they get so much power. So it should be limited. So you come from the field, 8 years should be the max in a high-level management position for the bureaucrats.
Okay.
So I think that would help. This is something we can do something about. And
do you know anything about the fair tax?
I've heard you guys talk about it a little bit, I think. I heard your show. Fill me in on the fair tax. It's like a flat tax.
Right. Okay. Fair tax is getting rid of the IRS, number one. Number two, is to get rid of all the back taxes all the way. There is no more back taxes at all. All you do is pay a consumption tax while you buy something at 23%. But it's
okay.
And then you get a prebate. You get a prebate beforehand based on the poverty level and the amount of people in the family. And if you cut rid of all the back end taxes, something that costs $1,000 today will be like $100 today, basically. Yeah. And then you add 23%, and then it's offset. That's how it works. You go to fairtax.org, you can read all about it.
Yep, that's the fair tax. It's the sales tax, which we would flourish because we'd have more commerce and more building, more everything. The only thing gets taxed is the last user. You don't tax anything in between because there's so many levels of taxes. Now, one of the problems, though, is states like California would keep all their stupid taxes, you know, their state taxes.
That's the problem. That's the big problem there, but it's going to take a while. But it's in the House, and we had the guy that they went ahead some fair tax to come on the show, and we spent an hour on the show for doing that. It was about 5 months ago, 4 months ago, and he was on, and I got back with him. He was back in 2010, 2009, when we did the Tea Party. And that's how I met the people with the fair tax over there. I mean, became pretty good friends. And he was on once there, and then came on this early this year. Because now we have a Congress. We took the House, so we're able to put it in committee, and it's supposed to be on the floor. And I haven't heard anything since. But it is out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good. I mean, the stack system we have now is just terrible. It takes way too much work. It penalizes people who are successful, and it reduces our capital to build companies.
Yeah, Trump tried to reorganize the tax codes into a postcard, and he got part of it done, but because he couldn't complete it, and now they're trying to rip that part apart and. Now you end up, as because of the Democrats, they're trying to take away all your breaks and start putting all the taxes back in, which means you're going to have even less money.
Right, right. And with inflation the way it is, everyone's being bracket creep. We're going up higher and going to have to pay higher taxes. People don't realize that. We're going to have to pay much higher taxes because of bracketing, which is really bad. One of the biggest concerns, and this has to deal with taxes, but one of the biggest concerns to me is inflation and the government printing all the phony money. Biden has printed up to 40% new dollars and put into circulation, and that's what's causing our heavy inflation. We just had there was good and bad in this last bill where they raised the caps for the next 2 years. It's still going to allow way too much spending. It's going to allow the IRS to get way too many new agents, 80,000 agents. So that, to me, is one of the biggest disasters on the horizon is inflation. We could lose our country because of inflation. It could go away. I mean, I know how expensive things are.
Kevin McCarthy made a deal that we're doing the 87,000 IRS agents.
It went down to 80,000, but they're not being hired. They're not hired yet. It's deferred for at least a year,
Kevin, and
that's going to change.
That guy is a guy's got to go. He's a poor idea of a person. He should not be. He should not be the speaker.
What is
he? Have you ever been to Bakersfield, where he's from?
Yeah.
Bakersfield.
I know he's from Bakersfield.
Yeah, kind of crazy place in California. It's kind of the pits of California. I'd say San Francisco is the pitch now, though. But it's got good people and mountains and stuff, but it's just an interesting
area. Do you think inflation's going to rise?
Oh, it's on the rise now. For example, when Biden first came into office, let's say you make $100,000 a year. That $100,000 today will only buy $85,000 in goods compared to in 2 years, or less than 84.
Oh, yeah, easily.
And we're rising around 4 to 6%. Now, some commodities have gone down because our economy is starting to really slow. Lumber, I come from the construction industry. Lumber has gone down a lot in the last 30 days. And that's a commodity. It's gone way down. It skyrocketed up with COVID. By the way, we should talk about the COVID.
Yeah, I know. It was the number one increased item. I remember.
Okay.
It affected printing. The printing industry has quadrupled under the Biden administration. Okay?
Yeah, nice.
So you're
we should
saying
talk
inflation
about COVID.
Is going to increase.
Okay, talk about COVID because you're running down time. Go ahead.
So one of the driving things, that can never, ever happen again, what happened to us. I did a lot of study on that. Now, my wife didn't take the shots. I was working professional ski patrol and mountaineering. My girls, both at West Point at the time, were forced to take the shots. But my son, who's a pilot in the Coast Guard, he's got a Navy flight school, talked to me, and I married into a very strong Catholic family. And he talked to me about not taking the shots because of his conscience. So I called a priest at West Point, and I talked to them and talked to different people. But I'm really proud of him because he stood firm. But because of him, I did a deep study on what was going on with COVID. And basically, it really frustrated me, but the military broke the law when they forced a COVID vaccine on people, not just because of their religious objections, but because it's an EUA, emergency use authorization. They said they had something that was FDA approved, but it's called Comirnaty. It never made it to the United States. It's out of Belgium. Even that run at Belgium a few days later was also considered an EUA because it didn't meet the requirements. So they were forcing an EUA vaccine on the troops. I'm proud of my son because he was a Liberty Counsel, and he was one of the four Coast Guard personnel to be selected to sue the Austin. And even though the Coast Guard comes under Homeland Security, they fell under the directives of Austin and the Defense Department for these shots. So all these people they forced to take the shots, at the time, we knew it was an EUA, but then later on, even worse, we found they were totally ineffective, that we were lied to, and it didn't stop the spread. And that younger people in particular were vulnerable to myocarditis and caused much more damage than the benefits of the COVID shot. So this can never happen again. And that we didn't even talk about the shutdown that California did. It was terrible. We lost a lot of our civil liberties. The Constitution wasn't even followed. It was bad. It was real bad.
You know what was worse, Mr. Conrad? They came out and made people suckered them to do more jabs, okay? And then people were really sick. And just for instance, I'll say Jamie Foxx, who's an actor, okay? Mm-hmm. He's very sick from all the jabs.
Yep. I know three or four doctors pretty well. My next-door neighbor's a doctor. We're good friends. And his sister worked over at UNR, it's our university here. She was forced to take the shots. After she took her second shot, she came down with cancer. She went into remission. And my brother over here said, do not take the booster shot. Well, university apparently there take the booster shot. And, you know, because of the culture she was in, she took the booster shot. 3 months later, she's dead. She had a recurrence of cancer and died. That's notional, but it happened. I've heard the story over and over. And my part-time retirement job is a professional mountaineering and ski patrol. I actually set up an avalanche about a month ago. We skied until about 2 weeks ago. But anyway, the doctor who overall manages our division, it's the California Division I'm in, he's a strong believer in the shots. And I would brag, and I never took any boosters or anything. I'm done. I wish I'd never taken the first two shots. In retrospect, I wouldn't. My wife didn't take them. But I took the first two shots, and I got really sick with Delta on the second shot 4 months later. And I actually got sick with the second shot. But I didn't take the boosters. He's taken every booster. He just got COVID and got really sick, had a temperature of 103, super sick. So now he's changed his tune about taking any more shots. It's bad.
I took one shot back in – what was it, 2021? And that was it, or 2020,
Did you take the Johnson & Johnson by a chance?
I did.
That's probably the better shot. But
I took
the
one shot.
Moderna.
I had
no
side effects. My arm did hurt a little bit, and I never had COVID. I'm not a big lover of that mask. so I really didn't wear it. And
some people had COVID and they didn't know they had COVID because they had very little. Even
people had
shots.
Colds. I think people had a lot of different things, and they all just threw it into one bucket.
Yeah.
Look what they
my
did
sister,
in New York. Look what Cuomo did to the seniors. Okay.
Yeah, just opposite what he should have done. Well, look what our government did by funding the hospitals. By if you had COVID and you're at the hospital, they got more money. If you went on and they didn't give them treatment.
Yeah.
There was no treatment. There's all sorts of treatments out there that you could have done to take care of yourself. So when I got Delta, I have TRICARE, but I also have VA, which I stuck with. I wanted to stay in the VA system. And I called into the nurse practitioner, and she said, oh, just stay home. If your lips turn blue or you have a stroke, come on in. They were not doing anything.
Oh,
we went out ourselves and did the research.
We're running out of time. I want you to get, because we only have a few more minutes, can you give our listeners where to find you and how to donate to the campaign?
So if you go to – there's two ways. If you go to conradteam.com, conradteam.com, there's a donation button right there. That will go directly to us. There's very little taken off of that. It's a Stripe account. It's following all the rules. The second way, and we get another percentage taken off, is to go to WinRed and just put in the state of Nevada and you'll see my name. If you go to WinRed, which is the big donor platform that the Republicans use, I am on there with a few other candidates, and it shows the real candidates on WinRed. So WinRed and go to Nevada, or you can go to donate. And check out my points. I have them laid out right in the front page of what I believe in: national security, rights to life, COVID issues, that no one should be denied in the COVID issue, no education, career, military service, medical treatment, or for unwilling to take the injection. And Constitution, Bill of Rights, you know, critical. Government close to the people is best, like Reagan. And here's another thing. I'm big into the concept of constituent service. I've been around. When I was city council and vice mayor, I had to work with different, you know, congressmen, senators, different people in constituent service. It's really important that a senator, congressman, whoever, has really good constituent service. I see a lot of lazy congressmen and senators who don't push their staff to be good to the constituents. I think that's really important. You don't hear that very much. And then the other thing I believe in, too, is education closest to the people that breaks the cycle of poverty, that we need these opportunity scholarships, that you should the money should follow the child, not go to the public schools, that any organization, through the parents' permission, should be able to educate the kids. You know, whether it's Catholic,
yeah,
whether it's a Jewish organization, whatever it might be, that money should follow the kids so they can go to school, not the other way around.
That is true.
And I do believe in education. Education does break the cycle of poverty, get people out, you know, focus on the family. You know, strong families break the cycle of poverty, too. You have two parents who are married, their kids are probably going to do okay, and they're going to be stable. Now, hard times do happen to people, but they can work their way through with a pair. It's much easier to do it as a husband and wife with a family than doing it by yourself, running a family. So.
I want to thank you for coming on the show, and I would like to get you back on the show for even more in-depth stuff, because we barely touched the surface on it, on that. So we'll get you on as we get closer to the primary, okay?
Carl and Joe, I thank you. I look forward to it. And I'd like to be on your podcast one of these days. I like your podcast.
Yeah, well,
I like podcasts because you're just on demand.
Yeah. The podcast that we do, well, I do the radio show twice a week, on Wednesdays at 8 and Sundays at 7. And the podcast, two or three times a week. It depends on what's going on. So because we don't want it to run over each other.
I described your podcast, and I thought it was really good yesterday. I really got into it. I was laughing. You have good points and good talking points, but you also provide – humor within your podcast, believe it or not. Scarlett, you really helped out in the back.
It's not, it can't be serious all the time. It just doesn't work that way. And we say whatever comes up, and a lot of stuff that we do, as far as the serious stuff, we verify everything that we say before we say it. But as far as you know, the other stuff, the commentaries and stuff, that's what we do, what we see every day, what we talk every day. That's how it is.
Yep, that's good. No, I really enjoyed it. I think you're up there with Bon Gino. You're good. You guys are good.
Thank you.
Who do you, if you don't mind, who do you have hosting your podcast? What company, like what host, media host?
It used to be Anchor, but now they merged to Spotify, and Spotify is actually the actual Anchor actually is the base now. You do the podcast, it goes directly to Podcasters. It's called Podcasters, but it's actually Spotify.
So
and if
I
you go
online.
Yeah, there are many different places to do it, all over the place. You can even go to one of the computers and say "The Truth Is Out There, Voice of the People" podcast. It'll come up automatically.
Is there any way you could record
like Alexa?
The Blog Talk Radio? Can you record those and then put them on a podcast?
We haven't tried it, but it's everything like this show, you go to the Blog Talk Radio, to The Truth Is Out, The Voice of the People radio show, and you go into the archives, it's all there.
Yeah, but a podcast is nice because it's delivered to your iPhone, your smartphone, and it's downloadable, and you just can listen to it anytime. I really like podcasts. I have a podcast.
That's an interesting thought. We'll work on that.
We'll work on that.
But you've got a good podcast. I like it.
Okay, thank you. Anyway, we're getting down to the end. We've got 3 minutes. I'd like to thank you again for coming on the show, and we'll get you on in a few as we get closer to the primary to refresh our people and get more in-depth for you, okay?
And if you ever feel like just calling in, call in.
Call in.
We love that.
Okay. I will try that on Blog Talk Radio. I'll monitor. I know the time, so you're on every Wednesday
at 8 Eastern Time,
right.
And Sunday at 7 Eastern Time.
That's interesting. 7.
So it'd be 5 o'clock on Wednesdays and 4 o'clock on Sundays for you.
Well, I will sign off. I want to thank you both, and I will see you on the other
side.
Thank you so much. Have a great day then.
Have a great, safe evening. Thank you.
Bye bye now. Anyway, we're getting to the end of the show.
This is Scarlett saying, excellent show, very knowledgeable gentleman. I'm excited. I believe he's going to win. He's going to take out that demo shit, and he's going to go there to BT and do his thing. So this is Scarlett Butler saying, everybody, God bless you. Have a good night. Tomorrow's Thursday. Let's see what bullshit will come out in the air. And be careful about the fires that are coming down, the smoke and the orange sky that's coming down from Canada, okay? It seems like Trudeau is an idiot, doesn't know what he's doing. We should have people up there.
We're down to a minute.
Them. Good night, everybody. God bless you. Bye.
I want to thank Bill Conrad for coming on the show. I'd like to thank Bill Conrad for coming on the show. He is running for Senate in Nevada. I urge everybody to go check him out and donate. Again, I want to thank Scarlett. I want to thank the people listening all over the world. And I would like to thank those in the chat room. Have a very blessed evening. We'll see you on Sunday at 7 p.m.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land.